Welcome to Film School Radio, the on-air online showcase for the best in independent documentary and foreign films, every Friday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Pacific and online at filmschoolradio.com. I'm your host, Mike Kaspar. In this immensely compelling film, Against All Enemies, we go deep inside the violent extremist movement in America, alongside the Proud Boys, the Three Percenters, the Oath Keepers, and others. These groups, organized and led by highly trained military veterans, previewed the chaos that they can cause on January 6th. Against All Enemies is a warning about an existential threat to democracy in 2024, and a beacon for those hoping to combat it. It is a very powerful film, and we're joined today by the director of Against All Enemies, Charlie Sadoff. Charlie, welcome to Film School Radio.
Mike, thanks for having me on.
Thank you so much. Well, first of all, I think this is an incredibly important subject that you've taken on, and you've done it in a way that I think really gives us the full spectrum of where we are politically, socially. Who are the different kinds of people that are involved in it, and specific people that you focus on give us a window into their world, but also a window into a possible future. Congratulations on all of it. What was it that got you on to doing this particular project?
So the co-producer of the film, a gentleman named Ken Harbaugh, is someone I've known for years. He's a former Navy pilot, and everyone who saw January 6th saw what was happening. But what he saw were veterans who were leading the charge. And then after the fact, a number of veterans were arrested and charged as part of the rioters. He wanted to know why veterans who had sworn an oath to defend the country would seemingly betray that oath by attacking the Capitol and trying to overthrow the election. And so, as I said, I've known Ken for years, and we'd worked on various veteran initiatives together before. And so he came to me with the idea of making a film, and I thought it was something really important and that we should definitely do. And that's what happened.
You introduce into the conversation something that I have heard, but not to the degree that you explore it. Going back to the Vietnam era and the Vietnam War and the vets who came home, and they were disgruntled, they were angry, they were upset about a lot of different things, but one of the more important elements of their unrest, if you will, was the fact that they had felt betrayed. And I think in this film, Against All Enemies, on top of that, now we have the Afghanistan War, which was a 20-year war with no seeming real final goal for, except that it was just seemed to go on and on. But you introduced in this conversation something I hadn't heard described in such a fulsome way, and that is that when you put people in the field of battle for that long a period of time, when they come back, there is a potential for what we are seeing in front of us, which is organizing around their grievances.
Yeah, I think we have a scholar, Kathleen Ballou, who's literally written the book on this subject matter. And she talks about what you're describing, which is that after every war that the United States has been a part of, when the war is over, there's an aftermath to that. And society in general becomes more violent, not just veterans returning, but all of us. She says, men, women, children, we all become more violent in the aftermath of war. But what she caveats that by saying, what we don't know is what happens at the end of a 20-year war, which is where we are now. But this goes back to the Civil War. The Ku Klux Klan was started as a veterans social organization originally, but it quickly morphed into a group that was bent on terrorizing African Americans and, most importantly, keeping African Americans from voting. That's sort of the through line that we see even through up until today. And so a group like the Proud Boys also calls themselves a veteran social organization, but they're a lot more than that. So yeah, in the aftermath of war, there's violence amongst all of us, but it's particularly problematic for veterans who are trained in ways that civilians aren't in order to perpetrate violence. And that's, we get into that in the film about sort of what the threat that poses.
Yeah, and I think on top of what you said, the veterans who came back from World War II were celebrated, were feted, were given financial benefits that they prospered from, including housing and education. And in the last few wars that we have been significantly involved in, the Korean War, the Vietnam War, the war in Iraq, and the war in Afghanistan, these veterans have come home to none of that, or virtually none of it. It's not to the extent. Now, I don't know if that's a huge contributing factor, but I think it's the psychology of coming back from those wars that's more, maybe more important than some kind of social program.
Yeah, I saw a lot of echoes from what we're seeing today in Vietnam, and you made a reference to that. We talk about, and we meet a character in the film through archive named Louis Beam, who was a Vietnam War veteran, decorated Vietnam War veteran, who, when he came back from his service, used all of his training and his skills to become the head of the Grand Duke of the KKK in Texas. Like you said, he was someone who felt completely betrayed. He felt like we had abandoned, that the U.S. had abandoned him over there, abandoned other soldiers who had seen die. He used that experience and that story of abandonment to help recruit people into the KKK to then turn against what he called the enemy within. That, I think some of that persists today. I think we see a lot of that now with groups that view the enemy not as an external, but internal. And that's where the title of the film, Against All Enemy, comes from. Against all enemies, foreign and domestic. That's from the oath of service. And so now we've got groups that see the enemy as our own government, the Biden crime family, the very top. And then, you know, you hear all kinds of things about different groups that represent threats to the United States. So I see echoes, like you said, between the Vietnam War and today coming out of Afghanistan and Iraq.
The film is very powerful. And one of the things that I just thought played beautifully into telling this story is you get people who are proudly a part of this kind of cadre of people who feel that America has betrayed them in some way. And we get to hear them. And I think you give them a pretty fair hearing in service to that story, their stories. In when you started this project, sort of where were you then in terms of your sort of sense of what was happening? And then maybe as you sit here today, what has changed in your perception of where we are along this kind of continuum of unrest to something like civil war or some sort of insurrection, if you will? Where are you in terms of this experience has taught you?
When I started the project, I think a lot of the talk about civil war, and we can get into what civil war means.
Right, right.
I will say civil war now does not, there's not going to be two standing armies going up against each other like the North and the South. That's not happening again. I think a lot of people who were talking about the possibility of that when I started the project were, I think, probably characterized by some as hyperbolic people on the left, you know, Democrats overstating the problem and trying to indict Republicans and conservatives unnecessarily because this isn't really a possibility and they're just being overly dramatic. But as the time has gone on, we see now that this is sort of a universal proposition. I mean, Donald Trump in his interview with Tucker Carlson on Twitter, they talked, each other talked about the idea of there potentially being violence. It's no longer just something that the left is supposedly, I mean, I don't think it was ever just the left being hyperbolic. I think the left, the Democrats, recognized what the issue was. So I think the potential for violence, political violence, is very real, is something that needs to be planned for and taken very seriously. Probably not anything's going to happen until the election or after the election, but I anticipate that after the election, depending on the results, there definitely could be political violence.
I mean, I go back to Ruby Ridge, Waco, and David Koresh and the Branch Davidians. There have been a number of markers along the way. Go back to the bombing in Oklahoma City. There's sort of been a progression of it's us against them, and it's often involving veterans, people who have been either in the military or some version of that. And also, it's hard not to see a kind of fundamentalist kind of a religious bent to some of this, not to tar all the people of Christian faith with a particular point of view, but that along with an increasingly sophisticated delivery system for information in getting a message, a particular message out, and just beating that over and over, that drum over and over. I think all of those are factors in what we're talking about here.
Absolutely. I mentioned Louis Bean before.
Yeah.
Who came out of the Vietnam War. He recognized that in order to make his movement as potent as possible, he needed to recruit people, and the FBI was listening in on him. And so he essentially helped create this early form of the internet, and they called it Liberty Net at the time. And it was message boards where they would post their plans for different ways of taking on the government, all kinds of screeds around white nationalism. This is now obviously something, so I think it's fascinating that these right-wing extremists helped pioneer what we think today of as Facebook and the internet. Today, it's obviously on steroids. The internet and social media is used, and there's all kinds of different platforms now. There's Gab and Telegram, various other ones that are used to recruit and to then operationalize the plans that some of these folks have. Yes, there's people who are part of this world are inundated with all kinds of material and messages now that's hard to escape if you don't want to escape it.
I want to remind our listeners, we're speaking with director of the documentary film called Against All Enemies, and that would be Charlie Sadoff. And I think one other factor, and I think this may be the most important factor in all of this, and that is we have seen political parties in this country, Democrat and Republican, flirt with these extreme elements in the country. I mean, the Republican Party started out as the party of Lincoln, and over time has become something completely and wildly different. And the Democrats were at one time the Dixiecrats and are now a very different political party. But I don't think we've seen such a radical element. And I know in the 30s and 40s, there was an attempt on the part of some to take over the political parties, like Lindbergh and some of the other pro-fascist figures of that time. Insurrectionists, I'll call them, now enjoy the company of one of the two political parties in this country that matter as a home. And I don't know if I'm overstating that. I don't know if you want to go as far as I am to say that, but they have the presumptive candidate for president of the United States who seems fully supportive of what they're about.
Well, yeah. I mean, look at the insurrectionists who have been tried and convicted and are in jail because of January 6th are being referred to as political prisoners and patriots and martyrs. I mean, put yourself back in 2015 and imagine I told you there's going to be an attack on the Capitol after an election that no one could really question the validity of it. Even if you could imagine there's an attack on the Capitol, the people are arrested, and then they're going to be referred to by the Republican Party as patriots. That's a problem. So that we talk about that in the film, that the Republican Party, to a large extent, is giving political cover to a number of these groups and a number of these people, going back as, you know, with Trump during the debates with Biden, you know, sort of calling out the Proud Boys. That was the first example that I think people really saw that. And when he was, but prior to that, when he was in office, telling people that there was good people on both sides of the rally at Charlottesville. These are all things that, as you said, are not what we would expect from a major political party in the country.
No, you wouldn't expect in a debate for president of the United States for him to call out the Proud Boys and tell them to stand by and stand down. In other words, telling them to keep your powder dry, essentially. And when you think back on what has happened since, I cannot overstate how thoroughly and well done this film is, Against All Enemies, in terms of getting the message of what's happening, why it's happening, some of the key figures in the movement to essentially overthrow the duly elected leadership of the country, and how they are not, and pardon my French, they're not fucking around. These people are serious about what they want to do. And I think your documentary, Against All Enemies, should be taken seriously for what you've done with this work. So thank you.
Yes, thank you. And I'll just say, you know, I want to make sure it's clear that we are, you know, we talk about veterans being recruited into these movements, and they represent a small percentage of the veteran community. But I think one of the points we make is that a small percentage of veterans have an outsized impact because, one, they can be on the battlefield, what is referred to as force multipliers. They can make any unit more potent, more effective. And then also they give because of how much cachet veterans have in this country and the credibility that veterans have, they give these groups credibility that makes it easier for them to recruit, and it gives them greater acceptance socially. That's something that we go at great lengths to sort of try and explore in the film.
Yes, and to your point, this is not an indictment of veterans. It is, in fact, a damning testament to a small cadre of people who are hellbent on a particularly dangerous political, social, cultural crusade, if you will. So I couldn't agree more with what you said. I really, again, I thank you so much, because I do think that this is a film that's going to resonate with a lot of people. Against All Enemies, it is going to be out on March 29th. It's being released through Submarine, terrific distributor and director and producer, Charlie Sadoff. Charlie, thank you so much for being here today.
Mike, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
You've been listening to Film School Radio, the on-air online showcase for the best in independent documentary and foreign films. You can find out more about the program at filmschoolradio.com. I'm your host, Mike Caspar. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next week with another edition of Film School Radio.